Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't with it. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis. This is episode 193. It is your boy Flows with my brother Scott Flows and Eleni Barbchair. Scott, I don't know why I'm telling you all this because you know our Twitter ads. There was a Bears game.
Huh? Might be new people listening.
That's true. Every now and then we got to say it. So Barb Chair Scott, like Barber, Barb Chair Scott, Twitter at Flows Andolini, like Andolini. If you're a Godfather fan, you already know. But that was a Bears game yesterday, and guess what? I watched none of it.
I didn't watch any of it either. I saw the highlights this morning.
I did not cover the game yesterday. I wanted to make sure I was, you know, good with COVID, so I was tested and everything. I'm fine. And I didn't want to. On top of that, I was like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling comfortable with the community spread in Chicago enough to step outside the house. I'm still pondering this upcoming Sunday's game versus Minnesota, simply for the fact that I want to see the stadium. That is the main thing driving me.
That's fair.
If this was Lambeau or something, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? That's the benefit of being independent media. I mean, me and Herb were talking to Jason Leisure about this. He's like, you know, that's the job. I gotta, when they tell me to go, I gotta go. I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing about me. I don't have to.
I'm a home boss.
This is the first home game I've even missed in the last 2 years. But you know, with COVID just going crazy, I'm like, if I have something, you know, I don't want to spread it. I had just been feeling weird last week, but then I feel fine this week. Got tested. It was good.
Where'd you get tested at?
At home.
You got an at home test?
Mm-hmm. Real nigga. Come on now. Yeah. You don't know what that's like, do you?
No, I don't. I don't know what them shits.
Well, Walgreens, CVS.
I heard them rapid tests ain't really accurate, though.
No, they're 90% accurate. They're just not as accurate as the PCR test. PCR is like 99% accurate.
Yeah, I'm going to take that PCR test. I'm going to take one this week.
But there's, when it's close, you'll know on a rapid test. So when it's like, then that's when you get a PCR test. But when you are clear positive, it's easy to tell. A clear positive, it's easy to tell. Clear negative, it's easy to tell. But yeah. So
I definitely put my Pfizer in the overtime yesterday at the Chargers game.
Yeah, good luck, nigga. No way would I be doing that.
But I had my mask on. I had my KN95 mask on. I didn't take it all till I got home.
Yeah, that just mm-mm.
Even when I was sipping beer, I was under the mask.
Mm-mm-mm.
So
what is gonna happen to me, player? Yeah. It's one thing to do press box, because press box, I can't even say, some press boxes require you to wear masks, but I remember we went to Lambeau a couple weeks ago, where nobody wear a mask, and I was like, those people wear masks.
What
square.
State you in.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
I don't think Soldier Field checks fan vaccination cards, do they?
No, I mean, the order for that just came, and on top of that, no, it's outside, so they're not going to, gonna check you outside.
Well, SoFi's technically outside, and they're checking niggas' vaccination cards at the door. Like before you even get the bus, your ticket in, you gotta show your vaccination.
I wish there was an easier way, maybe like a vaccine wristband or something.
There we go. First phone alert of the day.
This is an ESPN alert. Fans denied being offered on-site medical evaluation by Washington after railing collapse. Oh, I forgot the rails collapse when Jalen Hurts was walking off the field.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, were you really that hurt? I don't want to be insensitive. Maybe you were hurt. Yeah. Jalen Hurts is having a better year than last year. I really think that he could do something with that team if they just give him time. We'll here go nigga that. Hayden Scott. Here you go.
I didn't say nothing about Jalen.
Got face like mm-mm.
Nah, I was just gonna say we'll talk about that on 2 minute drill tomorrow. I didn't say nothing about that.
We I ain't watched no football this week. I watched literally none.
Nigga, go on your YouTube, watch highlights, nigga.
I couldn't get sleep this week, as I was telling Scott. Scott asked when I went to sleep last night. 7 a.m. is when I went to sleep. Insomnia stinks. So I did not have a chance to watch literally anything. But the Bears, I did rewatch. Well, watch. So I was able to see a good chunk of the game. Just awful. It just did not look fun. just, I mean, even it was a considerable blowout, and the Giants offense did nothing. It just was terrible to look at. But anywho, first things first, we do want to send a shout out, send our condolences, not a shout out, send our condolences and our prayers to the family of Jeff Dickerson. If you pay attention to Chicago Bears local media, you know who Jeff Dickerson is. You know how long he was in the game, for a very long time. And he passed away recently, a couple of days ago. And it's, you know, it just took us all by surprise, because I had just seen Jeff on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same time, of course.
I don't know Jeff as well. I didn't know Jeff as well as a lot of the people there who have been with him for a long time. You know, he's been with ESPN for his tenure. But I had met him virtually last year. I said, oh, it's Jeff Dickerson. Man, I've been following him for a minute. You know, he was one of the few Chicago media I did follow before I started myself, because when I had first paid attention to Chicago Bears media, I had the bone to pick with a lot of them, because I had the fan side of me. I'm like, oh, how could you all say this about the Bears? You don't like the Bears. You hate this team. Yeah. But, you know, when you get in the media, you understand that ain't really the case.
When you see what's behind the curtain,
you realize that a good chunk of them, some of them know, some of them have switched from other teams to follow one team. And so their fandom might not be as big as yours. Like, you know, my homie, JJ Stankovic, who is a Colts senior writer, you know, everybody knows, even on his bio, he grew up a Bears fan. He grew up here. His wife is a diehard Colts fan, and his sons will probably become Colts fans. So he will love the team, but will he love it as much as he loves the Bears? It seems a little bit deductively dubious to assume he would. But for a lot of people, you know, you talk about Mark Potash, you know, Jason Leisure, who grew up watching the Bears, even Dave Kaplan, you know, grew up here. You know, I can't say all of them grew up here. I know Dave did, but I know Mark Potash and Jason Leisure have been coming for a minute. And you understand, no, they've been, you know, there is some fandom to them. No, they genuinely care about the team, but you want to be objective. And Jeff Dickerson was one of the people who I followed for quite some time just to get his perspective. I love his questions. And then when I got to work side by side with him, being a young journalist covering the team, he was a nice person. One of the few people who immediately said hello to me. Now, of course, nobody ever dissed me in the Bears media, but just to say hello to me and say, hey, how you doing, Joe? How you liking it? He was just a really, really nice guy. So I just want to ask you all to pray for his son, who lost his mother 2 years ago and now has lost his father. That is just a pain that is...
But shout out to everybody who contributed to the GoFundMe, though. It's almost, it's past $1 million now. A whole bunch of teams were putting in. So shout out to everybody. But yeah, JD, like I said, I've only met him like two or three times. He's one of the first people I met when I did my first Bears game against the Raiders this year. It was him and Kevin Fishbane, like the first two people I ran into. And he was always a nice dude. And, you know, like I said, the last time I seen him was at the Thanksgiving game, man. It was just, you know, it was just kind of weird. You never, you know, I didn't know what was going on. You know, and things of that nature. But I've been listening to him on Waddle and Sylvie since I was in college, you know, reading his articles on ESPN Chicago, I'm gonna be ESPNChicago.com, all those things, man. So it's just, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to his family and his close friend. Like I said, we didn't get a chance like to know him, but you know, just being around him for them couple games, man, he was always nice. So, you know, prayers and thoughts out to his family.
Good people always stand out for being good people, and he was one of those good people. So rest in peace, Jeff. We'll be praying for Parker, his son, pray for your extended family. So moving on from, you know, that, which is just tough to move on from, but delivering with the same eloquence and same information and skilledness that Jeff did, talk about this horrible Bears team that he that he covered for so long and so well.
Yeah.
What do you want to recap about the Bears playing the Giants?
I mean, from what I saw, like I said, this first game this season that I did not watch.
This is the Bears' only blowout this season?
Yeah. 29-3.
Well, it was never close?
No, it wasn't.
Mike Glennon finished 4-11 for 24 yards. That's a full game. Jason literally put this is full game stats. This is an indictment on Ryan Pace. I don't know how it's not an indictment. I cannot wait for the Vikings to kick the Bears' head in next week.
But they're not going to kick the Bears' head in. They're already fucking eliminated, so they're not going to kick the Bears.
Please play Kirk Cousins, please.
We saw what happened a couple weeks ago. That don't fucking matter, nigga. We almost beat them niggas. He threw 87 yards.
He did throw 87
yards. Them niggas are not good.
Like, and just to come back next week, come on, bro.
That's the way it's looking, but we don't fucking know.
Please, the Bears' head in.
There's no point in playing Justin on Sunday. Like, absolutely none.
Would I play him? No.
No.
I'd have shut him down. So that's it.
But Nagy also said if he's healthy. He said the same shit last week. So we don't fucking know. If Justin's playing, I'll be watching.
Why did Dalton throw a pick to the Giants?
He threw two.
He threw one.
Oh, one got dropped in the end zone then. Because one, he threw it right to that. And it was just terrible. From the highlights, like, I didn't see the game. But from the highlights, it looked terrible.
Saquon rushed for 100 yards. Was the first time in years?
Yes, the first time in 19 games that the Giants have had a 100-yard rush.
That's a terrible organization.
Yeah, and that's what I was about to say. The Giants, the Jets.
Stinks.
The Giants, the Jets, the Jaguars.
I'm not
going to
put the Jets in that.
No, the Jets are just as bad.
I'm talking about organizational run. I think there's a.
Yes, though the Jets are shit.
I think there's a direction.
When the last time the Jets been good?
I'm talking about there's a direction. I don't see what the
What's
direction.
The direction?
They got a quarterback.
Oh, and I don't like I said, that nigga stinks. I've never been a Zach Wilson guy. He stinks. I'm putting the Jets in there. Them the niggas who these the teams, Lions, these the teams that remind Bears fans, they can always be worse. Like, this is not a Bears dominated. No, this is how bad these niggas are.
It's funny. When I first got on the Bears beat physically this year, and I didn't know who Jeff looked like. I just thought, man, this dude was like a coach. Is this a culture? Is he a journalist now? Realized, no, this is Jeff Dickerson. He used to ask Matt Nagy, what is how are you going to run with, do the situation with, Justin, the quarterback? How are you the future? And Matt, we really started off earlier this year saying, we're going to find out the whys. Jeff's face was like, that's how I feel when I talk about the Giants. It's like, there's no future there. But I don't feel that way when I talk about the Jets. I feel like there's something with Zach. I feel like there's something with Trevor Lawrence. So I couldn't include them with the Giants where there's nothing with Daniel Jones. Even though they said Daniel Jones is expected to come back next year, I'm like, why?
Yeah, him there's and nothing the there. Coach are coming back.
Why? There is nothing there with either of them. Yeah, what is his stats? Oh, wow. He threw more touchdowns and no interceptions. He's 8-11 on the year. He hasn't thrown an interception in like 4 weeks.
Who?
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson ain't good. Like, of course, I understand if you're a Jets fan, like, he's a rookie, you got to go into. I understand, but look here when I tell you, he's not good.
The only rookie having a good year is quarterback is Mac Jones. But like I said,
I ain't like you said, like we said. I said the same shit. We got to make that nigga throw in a close game. It's a different thing. Now, I will say this about our beloved son, Justin. As we get into, I want to get into this thread by Eric Lambert later on in the pod, but it was a Justin stat that I liked. If Justin Fields doesn't play another game, he'll finish with a rookie passer rating of 73.2. That is better than the rookie years of Matthew Stafford, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, Donovan McNabb, Alex Smith, Steve Young, and Josh Allen. Trust the process.
Interesting
stat. Another interesting stat, Roquan Smith surpassed Brian Urlacher for the second most tackles in the single season with 157. Of course, Robert Quinn broke the record. What was this other thing about Roquan? He said, I forgot. Yeah, it's not on here. Maybe it is. I can't look at it. Anyway, actually, you want me to just go through this shit? Really nothing else. I was just going to say about as far as this game.
We are struggling to give you an episode. Do you understand how difficult this is?
We really are. We are. We're going
to
try.
I'm about to just search my timeline and read tweets, nigga.
No, but hold on. I'm going somewhere. Just give me, follow me. I'm
Did
going
you even
somewhere.
Tweet from the 79th page recently?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Look at you, bro.
Yes, I did. You didn't see my Joe Budden video tweet? I seen Leslie Frazier's name being brought up too many times with Bears coaching. And I was like, hold up, my nigga. What's up? But here's where I'm going with this. You had Alex, Andy Dalton. A guy who you paid $10 million to, who everybody, I'd have rather had Nick Foles out there. I'd rather have Nick Foles out there than Andy Dalton. There's absolutely no point in signing Andy Dalton when you got Nick Foles. And you're going up against the guy who the nigga also signed, who you gave $18 million to, in Mike Glennon. And this is a disservice to Mitch, too. You drafted a quarterback, a young quarterback, draft traded up to get him just to have him groomed by Mike Glennon? What sense does that make? That is the indictment right there on the whole fucking Ryan Pace era. Now, where I was going to go next, I'm going to go over some of these tweets. It was some jarring stats in here that I wanted to point out. First off, I want to give a shout out to Eric Lambert on Twitter. Eric Lambert 1 on Twitter. Give him a follow. He's got some great threads in various Twitters. He has some great threads.
Maybe he'd be cooking Eric sometimes, though.
That's because his articles be a little long. A little long in the tooth. But his threads have a lot of...
I respect the fact that he does not back down from anybody.
Yeah.
But
his articles be a little long in the tooth. But his threads have a lot of useful information in them.
And they're like, oh, is that sports mockery? Don't listen to that guy.
No, who you're not supposed to listen to is the Bears blog. That's who you should not listen to. Oh, my
goodness. I do not listen to him at all.
Sources, yeah. We're still waiting for the Allen Robinson extension, which that he said was done 5 times. Anyway, so here's a...
I just want to know, like, who are you? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, to Tommy Davidson. Who are these niggas?
Because every other major person, like somebody from Sports Marker covers the Bears. Somebody from quite a few people from Windy City Gridiron cover the Bears. I don't know anyone from the Bears ball. I'm saying, who are you? Where are you getting your sources?
Who are these niggas?
And you know from Barbershell who covers it. Seasonal employee Scott does too.
Wow, seasonal employee.
You are. I feel like every season you'll cover a couple games.
Of course, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And when they come back to glorious,
I really got to get you in with the Rams, bro. I want you to cover them.
No, I got to weigh in. I just was waiting because it's the end of the season.
True.
I know somebody who I have a plug over there. Don't worry about it. I got it under control. But getting to and from SoFi every day will be a pain in the ass. I'm still trying to figure that whole situation out. Because Uber in there, that's not happening. So, yeah, I'd have to get a car and a parking pass, nigga, because no, sir. It's like, I'm glad we drove yesterday. But anyway, I'm ranting right now. I just want to go over a couple of these tweets in there. So, Eric Lambert put up a thread yesterday. Here's a couple things that stood out to me. Barring a last-second burst, Matt Nagy's passing attacks will have finished 21st in 2018. For all you niggas who was getting excited over the little trick plays, and I told y'all it was bullshit. 25th in 2019. 22nd last year. And this year, the worst at 32 in the NFL during his coaching tenure. Even Dick Geron and John Fox managed to have at least one top 15 passing offense. Perhaps the biggest chunk of fool's gold ever. So that is one. There's another one when it comes to people we need to keep. David Montgomery has now surpassed 1,000 yards from scrimmage and at least seven touchdowns in all of his first 3 seasons. This is a guy that you need to help build around with this offense, as we've been saying on this podcast. Darnell Mooney is 7 yards away from 1,000 yards on the season. He has the most reception for any Bears wide receiver in their first 2 years in team history. Now, as great as that is, I still think Mooney is a 3 on a great team. But this is still somebody who I want in the field. Now, of course, I just named the Justin Field stat and the Roquan Smith stat. Now, the Bears have forced 16 turnovers on defense for them this season. 8 of them are coming 2 games. This sums up the year. Great sports spurts, but not often enough to save the season. I still don't really know what to think much about Sean to say. Decide, my bad. I just got a nigga to say. Decide. Ryan Pace.
I don't know either. I'm like,
We'll get to him in a second. I'm just going to go off some of these. Ryan Pace gave Mike Glennon $45 million. He gave up 3 draft picks to move up 1 spot for Mitchell Trubisky. He traded a 4th rounder for Nick Foles. He signed Andy Dalton for $10 million. People can say he takes swings, but going 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts still sucks. People love the champion Ryan Pace for being so good at identifying talent in mid to late rounds. That sure has done him a lot of good in the win count column. Now he is 48-64 with 1 winning season, and he is 0-2 in the 2 playoff appearances that he has been 7 years he's been general manager. And of course, he says what we all expect. January 10th, that's Black Monday, and that's what we expect to see Nagy and Pace out of there. Ian Rappaport came up last night and said that the Bears are expected to move on from Nagy next week. Mike Florio said that Matt Nagy wasn't fired last week because the guy who's going to hire the next coach isn't here yet either. So that general expectation around the league is that when we record next week, and we're probably going to wait, next week's episode is probably going to be late because I'm expecting a lot of news on January 10th for them two guys to be gone. So what do you have to say about some of those stats and things I just named off?
If you all heard that,
we heard nothing.
Is from Trunks versus Sale.
We heard nothing. Dragon Ball Z.
You know what he said? The nightmare is over. Replayed it. The nightmare is over. That is all I can think about. The nightmare is over. I have, you know, who tweets that up? We got to say that we respect the guy. Is that Jason Leisure? Is that Mark? Or is that Pat Finley? I'm not sure. He says, you know, we respect Matt Nagy. We got to make sure you tell you we respect
him. No, you got to do what Stephen A. Smith does with LeBron. He's a great father, great businessman, great philanthropist.
LeBron is a very good friend of mine. Where Jay Farrell used to impersonate him.
Yeah.
We have shared many close showers together. Like I said it 1,000 times, so I don't need to repeat that I respect the person. I respect both of them, more so Nagy because I've talked to him. But you're not good at your job, so you need to be fired. If I was working, for instance, I'm starting a PhD soon in theology. When I finish my PhD, I become a professor. And let's say I'm in class and I'm just being trash. I can't give you, you know, I'm not even instructing well. Students are like, well, you know, Mr. Professor Lewis, you know, what do we do with the problem of evil? This is a theological and philosophical concept. I'm like, don't worry about it. Not a big thing. We don't need to talk about it. People are like, huh? You know what it means? I don't really know what it means. I didn't study that much. Let's move on to something else. I did stuff like that. You know, if they talk about, you know, what is your epistemological view of understanding God? I'm like, not a big thing. We'll move on to something else. Let's talk about the Bears. I just give you complete trash. I'm not even helping you. Or if I say, you know what, let's figure out the whys of why we're thinking about God. Do you know the whys? Not really, but let's figure out the whys.
Or like Olin said, look yourself in the mirror, point the mirror up, look yourself, you're the why.
You know what I'm saying? If I keep giving you that, even though asking why is great in philosophy, but if I keep giving you, let's ask the whys, but I don't get to the whys, if I don't perform my job well, I don't understand what I'm doing, I don't execute well in my future position, what would happen? I'd be fired. I worked videography for my school. If I was producing trash visuals, they'd move on from me. So knowing all of that, you would expect someone who's not doing well at their job to be fired. So I'm expecting Matt Nagy, you know, we know Matt Nagy is going to be fired and nobody should feel bad about that. The only difference with Matt Nagy is you felt a sense of hope in 2018. Even though the offense was meh, you felt a sense of hope. It was like, man, okay, they're going to improve next year. And it's been ever since then. I didn't attend Matt Nagy's media conference on Zoom because I don't have anything to ask him. There's no point in me talking to you. You're gone. The only time I talk to is maybe if I go to the Minnesota game, you know, I'll just say, what has this season meant to you? And that's about it. I don't have anything else to ask you. You're leaving. You're out of here. I'm looking forward to the new regime. I'm glad that they're moving on. I'm glad that the Bears will have another chance. But, man, this is how many times have I said this, watching the Bears and covering the Bears? It goes next season. Oh, here's next season. Looks forward to this. Tired of that, man. I hope this is the definitive choice because you have a foundation. You have David Montgomery, Justin Fields, more important than any of them. Justin Fields, Darnell Mooney is a second or third option on the team. He's a good second option, in my opinion. I don't think he's the first. And on top of that, you have Roquan Smith. You got Eddie Jackson. I'm never going to disrespect Eddie again. I understand why he makes a difference. You got Jalen Johnson. You've got Eddie Goldman.
We apologize for our apology, Bojack.
You know what I'm saying? You got Robert Quinn. You got Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's going nowhere with that contract.
He's definitely not.
You know what I'm saying? And you never know what, you know, Thomas Graham could do with nickel. But you have these players. So there is a foundation for you to retool. I wish, you know, Ryan Pace, I understand you had to do what you had to do to get Justin, but man, Justin, we didn't trade it. What did we trade to get Justin to get our pick?
The pick that the fucking Giants got, which our pick to them is better than their own pick. It tells you everything, though. The Giants gonna have two top 10 picks. But you do that every time for Justin Fields.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the problem wasn't that. It's the problem that we wouldn't have to do this.
You know, it's funny
if he just took Patrick Mahomes. Like, it always goes back to him having to clean up a mistake of his.
That's true. I don't feel bad. I told you, the only person I feel bad about not getting is Patrick Mahomes, because the Bears' eyes were completely on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, as far as nasty man number four, no.
Yeah,
you know,
they didn't
especially with everything going on.
Yeah, but they didn't even meet him. They were actually,
their eyes were on Patrick Mahomes.
Two workouts with Pat, two dinners. The actual quote was, if Mitch wasn't there, they were going to get Pat. You know how asinine that statement sounds? If Mitchell Trubisky's not there, we're getting Patrick Mahomes. And so, like, he has to continue to cleaning up messes. That's his problem. And that's why he got to go. And I want to say this for all Bears fans. As we get closer to the finish line, and like you just said, Joe, it's almost over. Listen to me and listen to me good. It will not matter who the fuck is coaching this team next season, holding that whistle, having that dumbass Bears hat on, having the Bears colors. It will not fucking matter if the right hires in the front office are not made. Because it's going to be same shit, different toilet. It has to be a culture change. And you don't even have to look that far to see what a culture change will do for your team, your franchise. Just look on the west side of Chicago and what is going on at motherfucking on Madison, at the Madhouse. See the whole Bulls revival. They are the number one team in the Eastern Conference right now. And this is what team that's dealing with COVID and been hurt. And they changed the whole thing. The perception of the Bulls has changed league-wide. And just even, like, I think people forgot just how big I think people have forgotten just how big the fan base is. Every fucking Bulls home game, turn that shit off. Y'all don't see the video you playing. Y'all don't need to see the video.
Crazy.
But
it's called I Need It.
Goodness. Anyway, so that's like, there's even Bulls road games that sound like home games now. Look at them two DeMar game winners. I thought they were in Chicago. And that just shows you just how the culture has changed. The Bears need a culture cleansing. Now, ownership is not going to change. The McCaskies are going nowhere. But what they can do is hire real football people to take care of these jobs. Ted Phillips, move him to the arena probably. We've said this multiple times. I saw SoFi. I thought Allegiant was the most beautiful stadium I've ever seen. SoFi makes Allegiant look like the projects. It's that fucking beautiful up in SoFi. We're not going to get that because it was some nigga shit going up. And it was literally for like a day party. Jay Herbo broke Philip Rivers' record and these niggas playing Corrupt. It was some real L.A. shit going on.
They're going to play Oh So Arrogant in Chicago. Are they going to play
Bro, you saw the kick return that the Chargers had? Mm-mm. It was a kick return touchdown. These niggas played Pooch Dicey. It was legit a day party with the football field. So I'm not expecting it to be lit like that, but this franchise at least deserves a new fucking building. So like you said, Ted Phillips has been good building the Bears brand. Put him taking care of that. Get some football mind. Now I'm not finna sit up here and act like I have any realistic picks of who should be front office guys. I have no fucking idea. I don't know. I would love Peyton Manning, but like Cap said, we don't know what Peyton Manning would even do when he fucking get here. We don't know if he'd be a good football guy, and he's probably not going to leave what he's doing any damn way. I don't know any of these head coaching candidates who are really home runs outside of the unrealistic, I won't say unrealistic, but far-fetched wish list of Sean Payton and Mike Tomlin. None of these guys are proven. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, you just got to hope that the Bears make the right hire for GM, and the rumor, you know, if they do get a new president, we got to hope that gets taken care of. Because if that's not taken care of, it's not going to matter who the fuck the coach is. So that's all I'm saying. Let's be happy that Nagy and Pace are gone, but let's hope and pray that the right hires are made. We don't want to be sitting there 5-6 years from now, and we sitting there to my man, Justin's cold, but his talent is being wasted. You know what I'm saying? We don't want that. We want to be winning. Even if Aaron Rodgers comes back, right? You can build in his last years of his career. So when he does retire, you're ready to roll. You know what I'm saying? And if he does leave, it speeds up now. Because now you're in a division with Jordan Love, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff. You're the best by default. So these are things you need to pay attention to over these next 7-8 days, man.
Yeah. Nah, my I don't know. My point has all been said on Justin and, you know, the opportunity that people, someone, whoever coaches here and whoever general managers here has, it has to build a winning culture. The Bulls turnaround is so dramatic when you think about it. I mean, they have been sitting in 2 decades worth of terrible culture until AK and Mark Eversley came around.
Shit, keep it a buck. The culture wasn't great when Mike was there. It was just Mike was there. Them niggas hated the front office. All the beef that was going on, like you saw in The Last Dance, and if you read Jordan Rules, it's surprised them niggas won one. Fuck six. If you read the shit that was going on in 91, them look, I can't believe they won one. If you want to keep it a buck, the coach has never really been great. This is a result of Jerry Reinsdorf saying, I'm giving this team to my son. He does nothing but sign checks with the Bulls. If that was the case, DeMar would be a Clipper if Jerry Reinsdorf had anything to do with this franchise right now.
Yeah. But that complete culture change. The only reason I say that is, you know, even though the coach, when I think of coach, I just think of winning. So, but there is a, you know, with grown men, you can't really control how they act around one another. You know, the whole, oh, man, coaches allowed this to happen. No, they don't. But I say culture change because it was winning. You know, Krause, they were winning for, you know, while Michael was there. Phil Jackson is the greatest coach of all time. But after that, then it just went to complete ass for 20 years. Even when they're going to each Eastern Conference Championship, those teams were not built well. You know, better GM puts better weapons around Derrick Rose. You know what I'm saying? Better skill players to go – skill players, this is basketball. Better wings to go with him. A better power forward to go with him. The only person who was consistent there was Joakim Noah.
And he's not offense. It's the best offense the Bulls have had since Mike and Scottie.
You know what I'm saying? And so that complete
coach – and with all due respect to I was the main reason them championships, Scottie Pippen, he can't score like Zach and DeMar.
No.
Let's keep it a buck. He can't.
His highest score of season, like 23.
Yeah. Zach and DeMar are picking points.
If I remember correctly, it was not an efficient 23. I remember correctly, he was shooting like 43%.
And if people forget, because DeMar had these two game winners, he did not have good games.
94, he was, I'm sorry, 21 points per game. So.
What, 94?
Yeah.
The year that he was 6%. A quote-unquote MVP, according to Phil Jackson. Bullshit.
21-8-5. Not bad. 21-8-5, 3-1. That's not a bad season.
Yeah, but he wasn't MVP. Like, that nigga Phil was wilding. Like, Hakeem Olajuwon was dead. Get the fuck out of here. Scotty wasn't better than David Robinson. Get out of my face.
What was Hakeem Olajuwon's stats in?
Wild.
Back in 94? Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, oh, my God.
Look at Dream stats. Say them shits out loud.
28-11. 4-2-4.
And fucking Shaq up.
Ooh.
Shaq, Dream used to serve Shaq, boy.
Yeah.
he used to serve Shaq.
What David Robinson stats then?
Admiral Corny, but he was
27-10-3-2-3. Yeah. No. He was nowhere close to those stats. But anyway, I say that to say the culture change is not impossible within sports because it happened with the Bulls. Yeah. It's going to have to happen with the Bears, with the McCaskies turning it over to a person who actually cares about the game. They're going to have to take their hands off. They don't know what they're doing. You know how to run a business. That's great. Football is a business, but it's also a business on the field. It's not just inside meeting rooms. And so they need to hand it over and, you know, we're beating a dead horse at this point.
Definitely, man.
The fact that we passed 30 minutes is
incredible. Let's get to our last topic, which is we need to give a shout out to Robert Quinn. Robert Quinn broke the record yesterday, which is the only bright spot. Shout out to Robert Quinn. He is now the Bears' all leading sack leader of the single season with 18. Of course, we know Michael Strahan's record is 22. He'd have to have one of the greatest games ever against Minnesota to break that record. So I'm not – he literally had to have, what, 5 sacks?
Mm-hmm.
The record's 22. So yeah, he had to have 23 to break. He's not going to – if he had 5 sacks in a game, nigga, That would just be fucking ridiculous. But
that's the NFL record.
Yeah, NFL record is 22 in a season.
Straight hand.
Yeah,
you're not breaking that.
You'll get nobody. Aaron Donald got close 2 years ago. And he had 20,
which is interior lineman.
Yeah, he's biggest. Not. Yeah, that's Aaron Donald to me is the second best player in basketball. I mean, football. Period. I don't give a fuck what fucking position you at. It's Aaron fucking Donald, bro. Aaron Donald.
I'll talk more about it on 2 Minute Drill if I decide to come on. But if I as I was, who was on. I listening to? Somebody said the need. OJ Simpson is who I was listening to. It's a shame when he makes better points than you niggas.
But another thing, OJ's was always been good at football knowledge. He was an announcer.
That's true.
He just killed a bitch. That's
he just happened to be a murderer.
Yeah, anyway, say you know what you're talking about football wise.
Football is the one sport, if I'm thinking out of soccer, baseball, no, baseball included. Football and baseball is the just football. Okay, football and baseball, but more so football. Or I do not think there should be multiple MVP categories. With baseball, obviously, there is a multiple. There is a Cy Young, which is the pitcher MVP. And there is the literal MVP, which are for all the position players.
But then they actually pick by just stats, which is where I feel MVP should be, period. MVP shouldn't have nothing to do with your team. If you want to do your team.
Well, Mike would have won like 12.
That's what I'm saying.
LeBron would win like 12.
LeBron would have more than four. Shaq and Kobe damn sure wouldn't have one each.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. It should be offensive player of the year and MVP. That's what it should be.
For football, there should be an MVP at every category. So for defensive.
Well, there is a defensive MVP.
No.
You want an MVP for every position?
Every position.
That's what all pro shits are for, nigga.
They're two different. If a safety gives you 120 tackles, 5 interceptions, a linebacker gives you 158 tackles, 2 sacks, 1 interception, 9 tackles for loss, they're doing things that a safety can't do or a cornerback can't do versus a quarterback. Versus, you know, well, sorry, defensive would always be defensive. But then how do you look at a running back versus a quarterback? Like, the fact that Jonathan Taylor, it may just be able to get an MVP, he's not going to win. Because, you know, Derrick Henry last year was the closest you were going to getting a running back MVP.
Well, here's a question for you.
And Derrick Henry had 2,000 yards last year. Jonathan Taylor does not have 2,000 yards.
Here's a question
Jonathan Taylor – Huh?
Here's a question for you. Speaking of MVP, we asked on 2 Minute Drill last week, but you weren't here. Which 12 is MVP, Brady or Rodgers? It's tough for me because Brady is old doing this. Rodgers ain't throwing a pick and like, nigga, I don't know.
Tom Brady has thrown for 40 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and 12 interceptions.
And he's 44.
And he's 44 years old.
I would give it to Brady. Now, obviously, I'm biased.
35 touchdowns and 4 interceptions, which is
ridiculous.
Just ridiculous. 3,900 yards. Probably Aaron Rodgers. What you gonna do? He ain't throwing a pick since November 14th.
That's what I'm saying.
And then before that, October 10th. And then before that, September 12th.
I'm like, nigga, he ain't throwing a pick in almost 2 months. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
And volume wise, he's on pace to have the same volume as last year. Like, he has only had double digit picks 2 years out of his career. He's thrown 93 picks in his career, which is just
that's ridiculous.
Just ridiculous.
I think it's a toss up though who won MVP this year though. I think Brady's age is going to play a lot in his favor. And Aaron won last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like at this point, true. You know.
That's true. That's why I think, you know, because someone in the defensive MVP category, Robert Quinn should be considered. He's not going to win it, but he should be considered.
Who do you think is going to be defensive player of the year?
Some people saying T.J. Watt or some shit like that.
Fuck T.J. Watt.
Or freaking Trayvon Diggs.
Nah, hell no.
He finna get cooked by Davante Adams.
Oh, Davante finna do some nasty.
Oh, he finna do something unholy to that man.
Something nasty. You know, y'all know I love. I feel dirty. I love Davante. Davante is my favorite receiver in the league. I don't care. And can I address the Twitter poll question I put on the page this week? My poll question was, and by the way, 61% of y'all are smart. I said if somebody came to you with a proposition, Aaron Rodgers win the Super Bowl this year, Packers win the Super Bowl. But he leaves the division. You will never see him again. or they lose this year, but he re-signs with the Packers for another 5 years. I said, give that nigga that Lombardi. I would drop it off to him myself. Leave me alone. And I heard a lot of niggas know, oh, no, I'd rather just be. Fuck that. I do not want to see this nigga 10 more times. Take your ring. That'd be just number two for you. Get the fuck out of my life.
There's something about being a football player, former football player, and just being a fan where I was like, nah, nigga, I want Justin to dethrone him. But there's also the reality that I want the nigga to leave. So part of you probably say, get that trophy and leave me. Leave me and my family alone. We suffered enough abuse. But yeah.
But nigga said, well, I like laughing at him. You know, I like laughing at the Packers too. You know what I like more? Winning. I would love to see Jordan Love, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins 6 times a year. Those are at the worst 5-1.
Bears are going to beat the Vikings, aren't they?
I don't think they are. It's going to be an ugly game, nigga. Like 13-10 or something. It don't matter. It really don't matter. These niggas' gooses are cooked. Nothing matters on Sunday. If Justin plays, just hope he gets out of it without being hurt. That is the only thing. And if he don't play on Sunday, literally, there's no point in watching. I didn't watch this past week. There's no fucking point. This shit is over. And we ain't got to sit up here on this fucking podcast and make up shit for 30 minutes because these niggas fucking stink. Give me something to fucking talk about, man. I'm fucking tired. That's all I got. I think that's the perfect way to end this episode. That's all I got. Next week will be
crying at Denzel Valentine being waived already.
Yeah. Twice. He got traded twice and then got waived. But it's the perfect way to end this episode. This is episode 193. This is week 17. Of course, this is a new season. So next week, for the first time in NFL history, we get a week 18. So next week's episode will probably won't drop till Wednesday because we're expecting some big news to go on. We're expecting the firings of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace next week. So then we'll have a lot more stuff to talk about. We can recap the season, talk about who we might want, who we might not want next week, and we can hopefully, and we can start to be optimistic that door of BU will be officially closed, and we can move on and hopefully to the great future of Bears football. Is there anything else you have to say before we get about it?
I want to go eat.
I want to eat too. So, you know to follow us at Barbershare Scott, at Flows Anilini, at Barbershare Net. Subscribe, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We'll holler at y'all next week for the season finale of season 7 of 79th and Hollis.
Hopefully, yeah. I'll be in Minnesota giving you all my final
one,
post-game
one last ride of the season.
Which I should. I just got to find somebody who wants to go drive with me, which is hell. Yeah. So,
see you all. We out, y'all.